Today we are in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, we will begin reading in verse number 26. I will start. We'll read together responsibly, okay? I'm sorry. Chapter number 15. Chapter number 15. Thank you for helping me there. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 26. I was already there, so it happens. All right. Verse 26, I'll read. We'll read together responsibly. And the Bible says, "And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." Together, verse 27, please. "And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou." Verse 29. "And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people, before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God." Verse 31. "So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then said Samuel, Bring ye hither to me Agag, king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past." Verse 33. "And Samuel said, As the sword hath so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal." Verse 34. "Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. Came no more to see Saul unto the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel." We're going to read the next four verses in verse 6 in chapter 16. "The Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Verse 2. "And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." Final verse 4. "And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably?" And let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you so much for yet another week, another Sunday, another Lord's Day, another opportunity that we have as your people to come to your house to hear your word. Please, be with us this morning, Lord, and speak to us corporately and individually through the preaching of your word. Please, give Pastor Myers the liberty and the power to preach to us exactly what we need. You know what that is. Be with us special and be with our day. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Often I stop to think just where I'd be had Jesus come down from that cruel tree. There'd be no hope for man, no peace could be found. Praise God, I am glad that he didn't come down. He didn't come down, oh no, he didn't come down. 10,000 angels were kept all around. He could have called them, set him free, but he stayed on the cross for you and for me. Picture his mother there with tears in her eyes as they mocked and scorned him and pierced his side. They said, if thou be king, then come to the ground. but he prayed, forgive them, and he didn't come down. He didn't come down. Oh, no, he didn't come down. 10,000 angels were camped all around. He could have called them to set him free.
Thank you for that. Keep your Bibles open to 1 Samuel 15. I'm going to need a little more monitor here. You ever hear people say, use a phrase, I've heard it before, you know, like, I just feel, they'll look at situations in their life and they'll say something like, I just feel trapped. You know, I feel stuck. I've seen the picture where they say, you know, are you stuck? And there's a picture of a turtle and it's upside down. Sometimes we feel like that. Or people use the phrase, you know, I feel like I'm in a rut. Someone has said a rut is just a grave with both ends kicked out. Sometimes we get stuck in situations of life or areas of life because we've simply just not decided to move on from it. With Samuel, here we see that he is kind of in that same area. Let me explain the story. The text. Saul was the first king of Israel. Saul was, if you know the end of this story, you kind of think, you know, he didn't do very well. But if you understand the beginning of the story, Saul started off very, very well. Fact of the matter is, he was a very humble king. After he was anointed king, instead of saying, you know, where do I live? How does this happen? What's going on? He went home and went back to his chores. After they had another ceremony where they're going to officially anoint him king, they got all the people together, they're having a big feast, and they're like, they're ready to anoint him king again, and they're like, hey, where's Saul? And the Bible says he was hiding among the stuff. In other words, all the luggage. He was hiding. But something had happened to him. As he took over the position, as he settled into being the king, as he started becoming comfortable with it, pride started to settle in. Some people don't handle power very well. And what happens, we see this once humble man who God had picked, and God did not make necessarily a mistake when he picked him. He was head and shoulders above everybody, but now he came to the place where he could no longer be king. In our story, God had told him to go defeat the Amalekites, and he made it very clear that this was not for his glory. This was God had owed them, and he said, I want you to wipe all of them out. Don't leave any behind. Don't take any of their stuff. Don't take any of their cattle. Get rid of all of it. Well, he comes back, and as so often happens when we do something we shouldn't, like children do sometimes, and you catch them, he comes back and he sees Samuel and he says, hey, blessed be thou the Lord. I have fulfilled the commandments of the Lord. And Samuel's like, really? What's that noise I hear? I think I'm hearing some type of cattle. And then he goes into excuse mode. The bottom line is, God has Samuel tell him that now, because you decided not to listen, because you have changed, and now you've disobeyed me, that you will no longer be king. Not that he would not be king, but really, when he died, it would not succeed to his family. God was going to go find somebody else. This was hard for Samuel to take. You know, think about Samuel. Samuel was the prophet. He was really something. He was the last of the judges, but he was the prophet, and he was the one that had went out, and God had led Saul to him. But he's the one that had anointed him. He was the one that was there with him at the beginning, and he was the one that really, in a sense, maybe had invested in his life, and he knew it. And this was the guy, and he was the king, and he had seen him go from a good king, really, and very humble, willing to serve the people and do right, to become this disobedient, proud man, and it hurt him. He was struggling with it. And in verse number 1 of chapter 6, the Lord said unto Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Samuel?" In other words, what God is saying is like, listen, get over it. Quit mourning for him. He says, I've already got something else planned. It's time to move on. Quit whining about it. I've already told him through you, he's not going to be the king. His family's done. I got somebody better. And quit whining about it. Let's move on and let's get to where we need to be. Do you know, so often, that is the advice we need. Something happens in life, and something is going on, and instead of just saying, okay, I can't control this. By the way, Samuel had no control of this. And it's just time to say, you know what? I need to move on. It's time to get to where God wants me to get to, instead of hanging out here in remorse. There are too many things that each of us in our life allow to linger in our lives that really we just need to move on from. Sometimes it's things that we cannot control. Sometimes it's things that we can control. And sometimes it's things that we're doing and we need to move on. This morning, I want to show us from this story what we need to make sure that we move on from, and I also want to show you some of the things we need to move on from. It's very simple this morning. First of all, I want to show us what should we move on from. And we're going to see these things from the life of Saul. And let's apply it to our life. Let's look at our life, and maybe some of these things are there, and we need to look at it, and we've let it linger just a little bit too long, and it's time to just uproot and get to where we need to be. First of all, disappointment. Disappointment. Look back at 1 Samuel. We're going to look at some verses we actually didn't read. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 9. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 9. It says, God said, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me." Now, there was a time he was following, but he's not doing it now. "And hath not performed my commandments." Here it is. "And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." Now, I can understand him being hurt a little, but here he is. God already just told him, said, "I'm done with it. I'm over it. He used to follow me. He's not following me now. I'm moving on." And here he is grieving, and not just grieving, he calls all night to the Lord. God's already spoken. We don't need to, you know, when God's spoken, we don't need to keep calling out to him. Okay? Sometimes people pray about things. You know, I'm praying about this. It's like God already said clearly in his word, you don't need to pray about it. God's already answered. But here he is praying. You know why? He was disappointed. Now, let me ask you something. Have you ever been disappointed in your life? Maybe it's somebody else has done something and it disappoints you. You know, too often what we do is when someone disappoints us, we allow that to linger in our lives. We stay somewhere we shouldn't be. We get down. We get discouraged. And all because we were disappointed. Listen, don't let what somebody else did to you keep you from being what God wants you to be. That makes no sense to me. I decided a long time ago, I am not going to let other people determine who I am or what I do in a negative way. But we let disappointment, it creeps in, and we get discouraged, and we get stuck at this place instead of going forward for God, instead of going forward in our life. And sometimes it's just time to move on. Think about the discouragement. I think about Gideon. The angel comes to Gideon and hears God's people because of their disobedience, and they're not only being run by the Midianites. The Midianites are just being cruel. Whenever their harvest would come, the Midianites would come in and swoop and take all of it, and now they're hungry and they got no food. And here is Gideon at nighttime, so the Midianites wouldn't see him threshing the wheat. And the angel comes and says, "Hey, you mighty man of valor." And he's like, "Excuse me, you talking to me?" And the angel's telling him, "Hey, what's going to happen?" And he goes, "Oh, really? If that's true, then where are all the miracles? How come you're not working?" He was disappointed because of what was going on. Hey, let's not be disappointed. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes things are out of our control. Sometimes we do things that disappoint ourselves. But instead of wallowing in discouragement and self-pity, what we need to do is say, "I'm not going to stay here. It happened. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to make the best of the situation. And I am going to go forward." Staying put doesn't help. So we see disappointment. Also, I want you to notice discouragement. Look at verse 13. Of 1 Samuel. Disobedience. Here was Saul's problem. Here is why God moved on from him. Verse 13 and 14. "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, 'Blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord.'" You know, don't always listen to what someone says. Watch how they act. "Oh, I love Jesus." And then they do, especially salesmen. "Oh, I'm a Christian too." That usually means hold your wallet. Okay? And I'm not, if you're a Christian and you're in business, that's great. But if you try to sell your business on the fact you're a Christian, usually you're trying to rip people off. But that's just neither here nor there. "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" I mean, I could just see God. Here he comes in. "I've done the commandment of the Lord." And just that time, God pinches the ox. He pinches the sheep. Bah, whatever they make, I don't know. Ruff, ruff, whatever. And they start making noise, you know? And it's like, Samuel had to hear it. Saul had to hear it too. And he's like, "Really? Okay. Where'd the animals come from?" By the way, God had said, "Don't take any of the animals. Kill them all." He was disobedient. And then verse 19, "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord?" You know one thing? Sometimes we might get caught up in some type of sin. We might be disobedient to God, and something happens in our life. And instead of saying, "You know, that was wrong. I need to get over it and I need to move on," we allow ourselves to linger there. By the way, that's how sin works. Sin always tells you that you're forgiven. You can get over this. It's just a small thing. And as soon as you do it, it clamps onto you. By the way, you know, David sinned too, pretty grievously. The difference with David is when Nathan came to him and said, "Thou art the man," he said, "Oh, you're right. I am." He knew it, and he got over it. But sometimes we're living in disobedience, and we know we should move on from it. Okay, you know. It's like Spurgeon said when it comes to sin. You know, it's one thing to let the birds fly above your head. It's another thing to let them build a nest on your head. You know, sin's always going to be there. And we're never going to be perfect. But we get caught up in it, and we get trapped in it. And once we get trapped in it, we think, "I can't get freedom from it." And I say this often, but it just seems to be the sin of our day. Pornography. You know, something like that. And it's something where you can hide it and you can do it. And if you're really saved, it's going to bother you. It's going to bother you. If it doesn't bother you, you need to come see us. You may not be saved. But if you're saved and you do something like that, God kind of just pricks at your heart. And you know it's wrong. And you feel this struggle. And you feel trapped. And you just can't get over it. Can I just tell you something? You can move on. You need to understand it's time to move on. So disobedience. Excuses. We need to move on from excuses. Look at verse 15. "And Saul said, He said, I hear these animals. What's going on, man? They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep, of the oxen. And so he says, it's the people, man. I didn't do it. But then he gets spiritual. To sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest, we've utterly destroyed. You know, the people, they weren't listening to me. But we're going to sacrifice them to God. You know, God wanted them sacrificed back there. He didn't want you to bring them there, you know. But we destroyed the other ones. There was a little bit of obedience there. Excuses after excuse. Excuse after excuse. You know. Wasn't me. Someone else caused me to do it. And, you know, by the way, the goal was something good can come from this. We make all kinds of excuses, you know, play the lotto. Because when I win, I'm going to buy you a new church. Listen, quit playing the lotto and put that money in and help the old church. We can always find a reason. Well, I know I did this, but that's because this you start flirting with someone you shouldn't be flirting with. The texts get a little bit out of control. Well, after all, they're not meeting my needs. We can always find excuses for everything that we do. But excuses don't get us out of where we should be. They keep us there. Let's not buy into the excuses. The best thing to do is just say, you know what? That was wrong. I shouldn't do it. I'm out of here. I'm moving on. Next, rebellion. We need to see this. Rebellion. Look at verse 22 and 23 of chapter 15. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken as the fat of rams. He said, listen, God doesn't want you to sacrifice them as much as he wanted you to obey him in the first place. But then he makes a point. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Satanism, really. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. See, God, we call it other names. God calls it rebellion. Saul said, no, we utterly destroyed all of them, except for the best of them. God says, you're a rebel. You rebelled against me. Too often we let ourselves off the hook because we don't see sin for what it is. It's sin. Well, you know, and I know sometimes I'll accidentally use these phrases and I shouldn't, you know. I made a mistake. Okay, you sinned. That's just my weakness. It's a sin. Now, if you have a weakness that leads to that sin, you need to work on that, but the result of the weakness is that you allowed yourself to sin. It was just an accident. It's sin. We need to quit letting ourselves off the hook, right? As long as you're willing to let yourself excuse yourself for it, you're not going to move on. See it for what it is. See it not the way we see it. Now, by the way, when someone does wrong and they come in, it's like, man, I did this and I want help with it. Man, I'm all in on helping them and stuff. But let's see it from God's angle. God's angle says, he says it's rebellion. And he likens rebellion to witchcraft, or really, let's call it what it is, Satanism. You know what Satanism is? I'm deciding what's right and wrong in my life. And that's what rebellion, and that's what sin is. Let's move on from it. And then the last thing is pride. Pride. Look at 1 Samuel 15:30. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people. He got called out, and the people saw it. And he didn't like that the people saw it, because after all, I'm the king. And so to put this little facade on, he's like, come on, hey, let's worship here together. Honor me before the people. He still didn't get it. He still didn't get that it was wrong. He wanted to be restored in the eyes of the people. By the way, they would have respected him more if he would have just said, I was wrong, let's get this thing right. But he didn't get it. Sin is ultimately a result of pride. I know what's best for my life. I want what I want. And we need to move on from it. So those are the things we should move on from. And in the few minutes we have left, I want to go to number two. How should we move on? Okay? I'll just give you a few things and we're done. First of all, there needs to be a realization. There needs to be a realization. Look at verse 35. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. That's cute. That's nice. I appreciate that. But look at the last part. And the Lord repented that he had made Saul over king over Israel. Samuel said, I'm not going to go see him anymore. But man, this is still bothering me. And God's like, I've already changed my mind about the whole situation. I'm moving on. So what's the realization that will help us to move on from the places where we shouldn't be? We need to see it from God's perspective. That's all there is to it. Look at everything in your life and look at what's going on and look where you're stuck and look where you're not moving and look at what's bothering you and say, what does God say about it? What does God think about that? And let that be the reality in your life. Realization. Because until we get to that realization that this isn't where I'm supposed to be, this isn't what God wants, we're never going to move on and get to where God wants us to be. It always starts with self-realization. We have an RU ministry, addiction. Hey, they're never going to get over addiction until they come to the realization that this is wrong in God's eyes and I need to get out of it. You can't help somebody that doesn't want help. And you can't move on unless you want to move on and get to where God wants you to be. So there needs to be a realization. Next, there needs to be acceptance. Acceptance. Once we have a realization of how God sees it, then we accept the situation. That was in verse 1. The Lord said to me, how long will thou mourn over Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Now, we see in the actions that he takes that he finally accepted it and he moved on. We have a hard time accepting things. We have a hard time saying, this is just how it is, and it's not good. Okay? We need to see it from God's perspective. We also need to see it from what it's doing to our own lives. We got to see it. You know, sometimes we just don't see those things. Well, you know, it's not that bad, and I got this under control. No, you don't. It's got to be an acceptance that this isn't right. Next, there needs to be some stability. He said, how long will thou mourn? And I'm not getting on Samuel. He's a far better man I'll ever be, but he was being real emotional about this thing. And I know this, when you're being real emotional about something, you're not thinking clearly. No one thinks clearly when they're emotional. They're not. Let me just ask you this. Have you ever said something when your emotion's out of kilter and it's like, I didn't mean that and I wish I wouldn't have said that? How many of you have done that? I've done it. I'm honest. I did it one time like 47 years ago. And then I've done it a bunch more times since then. Okay. We all do it like, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Because our emotions were out of control. Now, it's okay to occasionally say something, but let me say this. We make decisions when our emotions are out of control. That's dangerous. That's the problem. Never, ever, ever make a decision when your emotions are out of control. Calm down and look at the situation clearly. He was not moving on because it was not a bad thing. He cared about Saul. He cared about what was going on, but it was keeping him from moving on. We need some stability in our life. When our emotions are not stable, the Bible calls that being double-minded. And a double-minded man is not just unstable in that situation. The Bible tells us in James, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now it starts to bleed out into other areas of our life. You're struggling with this area, and there's some emotional thing, and you're not getting over it. Could be bitterness, could be whatever. That's going to start to spill out to other areas unrelated to that. Why? Because it's affecting you emotionally. Next, there needs to be action taken. He said this, goes, how long are you going to mourn? He goes, fill thine oil and go. He said, listen, I got just time to get over it. Here's the next game plan. Take some action. If you don't take any action, you're not going to change. You've got to, well, you know, I've just been praying that the Lord would take control of this situation. Hey, while you're praying for the Lord to take control of the situation, fill your horn with oil and go. Start going the right direction. See, we blame where we're staying at because God hasn't done anything, but we've not done anything. God could have told him, fill your horn with oil and go. He's telling him there's another king. And he could have, if he doesn't fill the oil, he ain't going. He's got to take some action steps. Okay? And I know sometimes we get discouraged and we get down. We've all been there. And when we get discouraged and when we get down, we don't want to do anything. We just kind of stay where we're at. Get up and go. Find out the next step. And here's the problem. I just don't feel like going. That's okay. But go anyhow. If you have the emotions, I told you earlier, don't do anything or whatever. If your emotion's out of kilter, let me add a little caveat to that. There is one thing you can do, the right thing. See, we sit there and we do the wrong thing, but it's like, it's still emotional. Let your emotion, but go do the right thing and the emotions are going to go. So fill the horn. Go. Take some action. No one ever changes unless they're willing to make some changes. No one ever changes until they take steps to change. No one can force you. And then lastly, purpose. Now he tells them what to do, where to go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Now, why was he so bummed out? Because this was Saul. This was the guy he had installed as king. And he says, man, now we don't have a king, and now he's messed up, and this was my guy. And God goes, I got another purpose over here. I got David. You don't just get up and go. He goes, there's something better over there. By the way, David was better. A man after God's own heart. A man that wrote most of the book of Psalms. A man that although he was not perfect, he loved God. And when he did mess up, he owned up. And he's like, I got another See, what you don't understand, and I'm done. When you don't move on, you're losing all the purpose that God has for you over here because you're stuck over there. And I'm not, please understand me. I'm not trying to be condemning because I know some things, bad things happen, and sometimes they paralyze us. And maybe it's not even our fault. Sometimes it is. But we still get stuck over here. And we let that keep us down, and God's like, don't you understand? I got something better over here. Get the horn, fill the oil, get over there and find David. We miss out because we're stuck over here. Let me ask you this morning. Is there any area of your life you feel stuck? Any of these areas we mentioned, you're struggling in. You can get up and move on with God's help. Let's stand this morning.